Welcome to the Inside Out Style Podcast with Imogen Lamport, your scientist of style. Each episode, you'll get real-world style advice for women of every size, shape, and age. And now, here's Imogen.
Hi, this is Imogen Lamport from Inside Out Style, coming to answer your colour and style questions. Got a big one here in my lucky tip today. So, Rosa said, as a dark-haired, low-colour, high-value contrast person, please could you answer a couple of questions on how to create the right overall value and colour contrast? In the winter, I wear lots of dark brown outfits. Is it enough to wear a coloured necklace and earrings to create my value contrast? So what I'm assuming here, if we are a high-value contrast, that you've got dark hair, you've said, and so therefore pale skin. So that's giving you that high value contrast. So it is then to think about going, well, in the winter, if you're wearing your dark brown outfits, that's great. So just add something light. So a decent size necklace. Now, if it's as tiny as the one I'm wearing, that is not enough to create that value contrast that you really need. But if you are wearing like a statement necklace, that is enough to create that value contrast. So particularly in, say, where you want to wear just one colour, when it's in a similar value to your hair, so a similar lightness or darkness to your hair as an overall outfit, like your dark brown ones are, then they can work really well without having to add too much to them. But if you wanted to wear an overall light outfit with your dark hair, you really need to add something back in to create that value contrast. It's not going to work as well because it'll look a little bit washed out on you, or just like a little bit ungrounded is what I find. Yes, a necklace can be enough. A necklace and earrings, provided they're unnoticeable. If it's really small, if it's not really noticeable, it may not be enough. In the summer, most of my clothes are more medium than dark. Again, is a necklace or earrings enough to create the value contrast I need? I'm tempted to go for white as it seems to create a good contrast, but do I need to go darker? So if you're wearing, a medium colour, a bit like, say, this is a medium sort of colour, in summer, I find also too is generally when we are in summer, we're adding more skin. We'll see more skin, you know, like at the moment I'm all covered up because it's winter, so we don't see much in the way of skin. If you have like a sleeveless or a short sleeve top on, your skin actually provides some of the value contrast. So you don't have to do as much, particularly if the colour you're wearing is a little bit darker. So if it's a darker medium colour rather than a lighter medium colour, that can almost just do it for you. This is where too is potentially your light skin, the medium colour, you could even wear a dark necklace and that could create the value contrast for you instead of a light one. So often what we really notice is when we're seeing a high value contrast, someone who's light and dark. So I think Snow White is the perfect example of someone with a high value contrast. We all know exactly what she looks like in the Disney movies. But, you know, so we've got that light and dark. So when we see contrast, we can either create contrast by putting a light and dark colour together. I'm just going to grab a swatch from over here. A light and dark colour together will give you a high value contrast, or we can use a medium value colour, but it needs to be a brighter colour. So it can be a medium value colour, but it needs to be bright. That also creates creates contrast. And when we're seeing someone who has natural contrast, we just want to see contrast on them. We sometimes don't care how it becomes, but we want to feel like there's something different. So this is where we can do the red and black. Yeah, Liz Taylor, another great example of a high value contrast person, particularly when she was young. These days now she's got the white hair, not so much. But that high value contrast. So we can have a bright colour and a dark colour, or a light colour and a dark colour. Either of these will create the perception of a high value contrast, particularly when your dark colour is a neutral. So if you are low in colour contrast, you don't want to wear too many colours together. So this is where if you started wearing like a green and red, that would start to be too coloured for someone who was a low value contrast. But if you pop it with a neutral, that really creates that value contrast you need. So yeah, so you could wear a coloured necklace against, you know, so something that really stands out. So whenever you have a high contrast, whichever sort it might be, think about, you know, things need to pop against each other in some ways or another. So it needs to stand out from each other to give you that feeling of contrast. Kim Kardashian, yes, a little less so. She doesn't have very pale skin. She's got much darker skin. So she's lowered her contrast. It's probably more medium to medium high. She hasn't got that true kind of snow whitish sort of look so much. But yeah, so that is something to think about. So in summer though, so if you want to wear lighter colours in summer and you have dark hair, go kind of into the medium to slightly dark version of medium. I know one of the things I noticed after I dyed my hair from, I stopped dyeing my hair dark and started dyeing, releasing its natural blonde, is that I noticed something that even though I thought all my colours that I wore, the hot pinks and these sort of blues and all that sort of thing, I had thought they were lighter than they were. And then I realised that my wardrobe, I remember walking into my wardrobe thinking, oh no, they're still a darker version of a hot pink rather than a lighter version of a hot pink. So it is that sort of thing to go, as long as if you've got dark hair, go for the slightly darker versions, and then you could pop up some contrast. So create contrast. So this is where you could use the white necklace, or you could use something really dark against your white skin. So that's where you could get that value contrast, is have a dark necklace against your pale skin, and that's going to pop for you. So hopefully that gives you a few ideas of where you can go with that. Okay, next question comes from Julie, who says, I keep black sliding. Yes, blondes have more fun. Well, people think I'm friendlier since I went blonde. That is the interesting thing I found, is that since I've gone blonde, people assume I am a friendlier person, and that is just because I've lowered my contrast. And I've got lighter colours. Lighter colours are seen as more approachable, and so therefore, with lighter hair, I am subtly more approachable than I was when I had a dark hair and high contrast. There you go. It's an interesting experience where people think you have changed when in fact you haven't. Okay, so Julie said, I keep black sliding in winter. So black and dark colours are so easy to buy and work with my black winter boots, yet I have light colouring. How can I wear my black and still look good? Now, I completely know. In fact, I'm wearing black jeans today. So it's ideally keep it below the waist as much as possible, so that it's not really around your face too much. And then use the stairs. So this is where I think about using the stairs. Think about light colours are on the top step, medium colours are on the middle step, dark colours are on the bottom step. So think about you are walking down the stairs with colour. So today I went with, I've got my black jeans on and my black boots. Then I've got my cobalt cardigan, which is a little bit of darker blue. It's not a really light blue. And then I've got a kind of medium turquoise. So what I'm doing is I'm kind of making the black not look, you know, really, really different from me by wearing particularly the medium colours closer to my face rather than the dark colour close to my face. So that allows me to wear my black jeans, or I've got navy blue jeans and all those sorts of things. And they're really a handy, fabulous, you know, kind of thing to own. So therefore, it's thinking about, I always think about this, I'm walking up and down the stairs. Like I have a black and white jacket. No, I was considering wearing it today. I didn't. But it's very stark. It's very high contrast. It's a bit too high contrast for me. But I find if I wear it with a bright coloured top, so some sort of like bright red, bright blue, something in that real medium value, it makes it quite wearable. If I wear that black and white jacket with either something very light or very dark, it does not work on me. It really screams, the contrast screams. Versus when I put something that's more medium in between, it makes it work. So this is where, you know, like remember these are all guidelines, not stuck in the, you know, mud rules. You can never change. You've got to adapt these things for your lifestyle and for who you are. And this is where too, I think, remembering like taking regular outfit photos makes such a big difference because you still see yourself and you can actually then compare it to, well, here I have me in a light outfit versus me in a dark outfit. In which do I really look better? Because we can often get into the mindset that only really dark colours are slimming and all that sort of stuff. And we can forget that busy patterns are actually can be quite slimming because they cover up all the lumps and the bumps. So often people think, oh, I can't wear a pattern. So you know, because it's going to draw attention. But in fact, a really busy pattern can be one of the most distracting garments you can wear because we just don't notice what's going on underneath. So you know, thinking about that, there's many ways of hiding without hiding behind a wall of really dark colors. Because now I want you to imagine I have two boxes and they're on the table in front of you. And I'm going to ask you to pick up the boxes in a minute. Now, one box is black and one box is white. Which box is the heavier box? Immediately, you'll be thinking it's the black box. And it's because black has visual weight. It weighs things down. It makes them heavier. This is why it has gravitas. This is why you wear it, you know, as a robe when you're getting a degree. This is why we wear it to funerals. It has gravitas. It has weight. It's why it's powerful. But visual weight means you also look heavier. And so that's one of those things that this black is so slimming is not necessarily the truth. The only reason why people are obsessed with black being the most slimming is if light colors advance, so therefore come forwards, and dark colors recede, therefore go backwards. We immediately go, well, what's the darkest thing? It's black. It therefore must be the most slimming. When in fact, that's just looking at one of the properties of color. So that's just its value. But if we look at the intensity of colors, bright colors advance, so therefore make you look larger, and muted or grayed down colors recede and therefore make you look slimmer. So if you are thinking about black, black is actually a bright color because it's not grayed down. As soon as it's grayed down, it becomes gray. It's no longer black. So therefore it actually has an advancing quality, just like any other bright color. So therefore, if you think about it, any sort of more muted color, like a medium to darker muted color, is always much more slimming than black is. What black does, particularly in photos, now this is the thing, is it's to do often with photos, how we see these things, not in real life. And we don't spend most of our life in photos unless we're a model or a Kardashian or someone like that. But for the rest of us who are walking around in the world, because what happens is on a film on camera, the camera lens can't pick up the variation in black. So in a photo, black can make you look slimmer. But in the world, my eyes can actually pick that stuff up. And so therefore, it's never as slimming in real life as it is in a photo. So it is worthwhile thinking about that. Remember too, is that if we want to make an area look slimmer or smaller, we just want to wear a darker color than the other piece that we are wanting to draw attention to. So so it's that sort of thing. So a lot of, you know, A shapes or pear shapes will say, oh, well, but I have to wear dark on the bottom. And it's like, no, you just have to wear darker than what you are wearing on the top. It doesn't have to be dark. And that is one of the things. It's just that what we want is, compared to A, your skin, it's darker so that your skin stands out as the lighter thing and draws attention and comes forward. And B, it's whatever is darker is different, you know, is still going to recede in comparison to what is on the top. So if I just grab this swatch and I'll just find you an example. So one of the things often is this, oh, I'll have to wear my black pants or black shorts or whatever, all that sort of stuff to look slim in summer. But really, even if there's just this much of a difference, this is a kind of, now every color's always look a bit darker on screen, but this and this, this is not black or even close to black by any means. And there's no black in this swatch, but let me get out a darker charcoal just so you can see the difference. So you look at this. This is darker than this. I don't need to wear that one to be receding because this is still receding in comparison to that one. So it's always remembering that if it's darker or that is more muted and cooler. So here we're talking the overtone of coolness, that if I'm wearing that, that's still popping forwards, even though they're very similar in value, they're both medium value, because this is warm and it's bright, it pops forward and it's what we really notice versus the gray recedes. So it becomes the more slimming color to wear. So, you know, it's one of those things to always remember, to don't get stuck on the kind of simple, like we just have to go black or really, really dark. So if you are black sliding in winter, I completely understand. I've got plenty of black boots and black tights and, you know, all that sort of stuff. But I just try and get myself lighter as I go up my body, or make sure that, you know, I might be medium value up top, which still works with my colouring. I just don't go for the really dark ones. And I generally will try and choose colours that in the medium value that are more related, that are more signature colours, rather than things that are more outside of that. Is that all the questions I had today? Oh no, I've got one more. So Sarah has asked, please can you talk about proportions? Where should I end my tops? And what length of jacket should I wear with pants? So where do you end your tops? Well, this relates partly to proportions and partly to your shape. So when we're thinking about what is a top hem, when you're looking at a top hem, it is a horizontal line. Now, horizontal lines are broadening. They are also shortening to a certain extent. So when we're thinking about those horizontal lines, if you think about every hem is pretty much a horizontal line, so where do I put them? On narrow points on my body. So I don't put them on the wide points. So if I end my top, it's, you know, like on the widest part of my hips, that's just going to draw attention to the widest part of my hips. It's drawing a big horizontal line right across my wide point. Instead, what I'm going to do is I'm going to end my top around my high hip, around my hip bone, which is just below my waist, but above the widest point of my hips. And that will be a narrower point, and therefore I will look slimmer. Now, so it's thinking about, I put my horizontal lines, so hems, on narrow points of the body. Then I look at my body proportions. So if I have a long legs, I can wear longer tops, longer sleeves, longer jackets, all those sorts of things. If I have short legs proportionally, then I want shorter jackets, shorter sleeves, shorter hems, all those sorts of things. So when we are thinking about, you know, where do I end my tops, it's A, on a narrow point, and it's B, related to your proportion of your legs compared to your body. Now, if you're fairly balanced, I go for the majority of people around the hip bone, within a, you know, a couple of centimeters or an inch of the hip bone, is fairly much a great place for most people to end their tops. And this can be true for jackets as well. And this is where you know, experiment in the mirror. Experiment in the mirror, take some photos, you know, kind of tuck your top up, put them slightly higher, slightly lower, and see where is your natural kind of sweet spot. If you have a bit of a tummy, I tend to find this is at just below the peak where the tummy bends. It's just below the peak, but it's not the whole way down under the tummy. When you go the whole way down under the tummy, it tends to cup the tummy and actually make the tummy look larger. When we go just below the peak of the tummy and we stop there, that often makes the tummy disappear. It's a little bit like magic. The other thing with things like tops is having a curved hemline. So instead of having a straight hemline, horizontal line, when you have a curved hemline, what that does is it can be really flattering because we're removing one of those horizontal lines out of all the outfit. So therefore, we're taking away a shortening, broadening element of your outfit. So do look at curving the hemlines. Honestly, you'd be amazed at how much better most people look with a curved hemline. Where do you end your jackets? Well, it's also, again, same thing. But with pants, it's based on, we've got a leg proportion and an upper body proportion. Is the jacket the same color as the pants? Is it a different color? So if it's a suit, it could be different from the pants. Or a diagonal hem. You know, any sort of non-horizontal hem is a great one. So yeah, I love a diagonal hem too. Not everybody's into asymmetry, interestingly. So find that the curved one can be really great as well. But yeah, otherwise a diagonal hem. And go down on your right side, up to your left side. If you're going to do a diagonal hem on something where you're going to change something to be diagonal, have it that it's the long side is your right side and the short side is your left side, because that actually draws attention up to your face. So in fact, creates another slimming and eye-moving line in your outfit. So with jackets, I tend to find with jackets, you can have a slightly longer, or so with pants, a slightly longer jacket than you may have with skirts. But it really depends, because then we're looking at the whole proportion rules of, you know, the 1-to-2 ratio. So 1-to-2 or 2-to-3 or 3-to-5, that sort of ratio that comes up in the Fibonacci sequence. So this is where it kind of depends a little bit about where your tops end, but also what your leg length is, because the legs should appear longer than the body, because the head is part of that kind of body proportion, and then the legs are the other half. So if you end up with your tops or jackets really long, then your legs look much shorter and they look kind of equal to your top half, and this creates an unbalanced appearance, even though we've got a one-to-one proportion. So do think about that. You know, I tend to find with trousers, you know, kind of somewhere around that hip bone, maybe slightly longer depending on your body shape and all those sorts of things. Or if you've got long legs, it can go longer. If you've got short legs, keep it more cropped. With skirts and dresses, I often find a more cropped length is more attractive than a longer length. So generally, pants can have a longer length. Skirts and dresses generally look better with a shorter jacket. What's the explanation of Fibonacci? What do you mean by the explanation there, Bronwyn? So Fibonacci, so the golden mean ratio, everything in nature is created in this ratio. So the unfurling of a fern frond, a nautilus shell, a snowflake, you know, you name it, it's everywhere in nature, this ratio. The ratio goes kind of 1 to 2, 2 to 3, 3 to 5, 5 to 8, 8 to 13, and just keeps going on ad infinitum. So what we find, and what's really interesting, this ratio is used in architecture. I remember talking to a cosmetic dentist who said he used it in the ratio of the lengths of one, you know, teeth when he's doing veneers, and it creates an aesthetic that we really love. It makes us happy because it's everywhere in nature. So really, I think that the easiest way to think about it is having its uneven proportions. So we have a one part to two parts. So if I have a top and then I have a bottom that's twice as long, that creates uneven proportions, but it creates a very aesthetically pleasing appearance. So when you look at, say, a human body, which is supposed to be about 8 head lengths long, according to Da Vinci and his Vitruvian Man, we can break up at, so we've got head, bust peak, waist, leg break, 2 down to the knee, and then 2 to the ground. So that's, kind of 8 head lengths. And most fashion is actually based around these kind of proportions of where do they put the bust and the waist and all those sorts of things. So when we're thinking about getting dressed, the thing is, though, is we're humans and our proportions aren't necessarily exactly that. But it's looking at, they're going, if I have a longer skirt, I'll have a shorter top. If I have a short skirt, I could have a longer top. So it's looking at, when I'm putting my clothes together, what are the most aesthetically pleasing way of looking at which garment should be longer, which garment should be shorter. And it just provides a, you know, an interesting look. I've got some blog posts about it, which I will link to after this as well. But it is something that really does, I just go, don't get obsessed with it. It's got to be 1 head length to 2 head lengths, or 2 head lengths to 3 head lengths. If you're looking at that can get a bit too much. But, you know, you don't have to go into that level of detail. But I generally will find that it does give you an idea of the best lengths of things for you. And when you're putting things together, I always think that we always look longer and slimmer when we're wearing rectangles. So if you can have 2 rectangles and 1 rectangle is, you know, say double the length of the other rectangle or longer than the other rectangle, it always creates a more pleasing look. If I'm wearing something that's very wide, so a sideways rectangle or a square, so you'll often see that if you look at an outfit and you think, oh, I look really boxy in this, it could be because the proportions are really 2 squares together or something like that, which creates a kind of a boxy appearance rather than having 2 rectangles. So I think about it's 2 rectangles and 1 rectangle is longer than the other. This is why if you ever look at plus size clothing, you'll notice that the plus size mannequins are a good head taller than the regular mannequin on the whole. And this is because as the clothes get wider, they need to make them longer to look proportionally in this sort of golden mean ratio that they look right on the mannequin. So it still looks more slimming because they've made it longer. Of course, as people become plus size, they don't suddenly shoot up in height. So of course, what happens is so many plus size clothes are way too long. There's too much length in them. But they've done it to make it look right proportionally, because otherwise on the hanger, they look really kind of out of balance. But of course, when you get them on the body, you need to adjust them to be right for you. So there you go. Who knew I was going to get into the Fibonacci today? It's a kind of technical thing, but it's a really useful sort of thing to think about, especially if mathematics is your shtick. So please do send me more questions, imogen@insideoutstyleblog.com for upcoming live Q&A videos. And of course, head over to the blog. And I will link over there to some more really useful articles that I've already written. The mannequin thing's interesting. I actually did a little experiment one day. I went into as a Target or somewhere like that. So like, you know, department store, they didn't really notice. And I stood on the plinth next to the regular mannequin. And I took a photo of myself just to measure like where her proportions were in comparison to me. So, you know, where's her waist? How long were her legs and all those sorts of stuff. Then I went to the plus size department and I stood on the plinth next to her, took a photo. And I mean, that mannequin was way bigger. I'm come here Monday to Friday, pretty much every day. If you want to watch more of these videos, if you've missed them, I'm up to now, this is 75 today. They are over on my Inside Out Style blog, so page, which you can find here, and then just go to the videos tab and you'll find them all listed there. There's lots and lots and lots of them. I do them somewhere, not exactly the same time every day. I either do them in the morning between normally 10, 10:30, 11 o'clock, or I usually do them in the afternoon, kind of between 4 and 5-ish sort of thing. Depending what's happening on my day, that's what time I come on. But yes, so, you know, there's lots of stuff here that I have talked about. So, but send me your questions. Let me know what it is that you want me to talk about, what questions you have. And of course, you know, my blog is the Encyclopedia of Style these days. So do use the search bar to find out more information, because there's lots and lots in there that, you know, that I've probably answered at some stage or another. Have a lovely rest of your day, and bye for now.
Thanks for listening to Inside Out Style with Imogen Lamport. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast for more actionable style and colour tips. And don't forget to visit insideoutstyleblog.com, where you'll discover Imogen's encyclopedia of colour and style advice to help you become your most stylish self. If you're enjoying what's here, please leave a review so we can bring you more of the content that helps you adore your wardrobe more, so you can get up, get dressed, and get out the door looking and feeling fabulous every single day.